which ones that you focus in on. 50 thoughts, 48 thoughts every minute, on average, some minutes more, some minutes less. But that kind of goes out to roughly about 70,000 thoughts every day. You have about 70,000 thoughts every day. That's a lot of thinking. That's a lot of stuff that goes on in between your ears. No wonder we have a hard time focusing. No wonder it's hard to be able to get something done, because that's one thought and there's so many other things bombarding you, pulling you away. And even if you're a somewhat focused person and you decide in the morning, this is my one thought. This is the one thing that I'm going to do. I know what I want to do. I know what I want to accomplish. I know what I want to think about. This is the one thing. You will have 69,999 other opportunities to think about something else. So how do we do this? How do we live lives that are focused? And really, and we talked about this last week, really what it comes down to is finding the thoughts that are worth focusing on. Because if your thought is just, okay, hey, my one thought, what I want to focus on is getting that promotion, or making sure I survive through this day, or that we would just have a healthy family, that we would be happy in some ways, all those things are fine. But those thoughts, they're really too small, because there's going to be something else that's going to compete, that's going to be more interesting than that thought, more interesting than that goal, more easily to attain in that moment, and you're going to get pulled away. And even the things that we do focus on, when we get there, sometimes we find they're too small. Again, last week we talked about this. If you have your goal to say, all right, I want to get the promotion, get the job, that's great, then what? Well, then I'll get another promotion, then what? Well, I want my family to be happy and healthy. Everybody's healthy. Okay, that's great. Then what? Someone's going to get sick at some point. If your goal is to make sure everyone's always healthy, at some point that's not going to hold true. You can't control that. And if your one focus is to do that, you're always going to be off. What are the things that matter most? And there's only one thought that we can think of that fully satisfies. There's only one that never changes, yesterday, today, and forever. That we can always be pursuing. There's always more and always satisfying. And that's the thought of God himself. That's the thought of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Lord. Here's our theme verse that we've been looking at, and we'll continue. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And so what he's saying is everything else, there's so many other thoughts bouncing around in our minds, but there's one, if we focus on that, everything else will come into place. And that's if we fix our eyes on what? Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That means that we look to him. He's the author, the perfecter. He's the one that made all things and makes all things right. And if throughout our days, throughout our lives, we can align our minds to think about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's calling us to do in each day, everything else will fall into place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first Jesus Christ, and all these things will be added to you as well. That's where we go. And we've been talking about this. We talked about this last week, so I'm not going to oversell this point. I'm going to assume that you guys are saying, yes, that's my best thought. Yes, I want to focus on Jesus. I want that to be what I think about throughout the day. I want to live that life and believe that as I do, I will live the life of fulfillment and satisfaction and infinite joy. I'm going to go there, and if not, we'll talk more later. Go back, listen to last week's message online, and let's align into that point. But I believe you want that, because I want that. But the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, I realize I've had 70,000 other thoughts, and I feel like I've done 70,000 other things. And maybe even last Sunday you were here and you were inspired and said, yes, I'm focusing on Jesus. That's who I'm thinking about. He's my one thought. And then you think, oh, I haven't thought about that since last Sunday. I remember I was really into that last week, but I forgot about it because I had so many other things going on. I lost my focus on Jesus. So what causes that? Why do we lose our focus on Christ? Why is it that maybe you've had a moment in your life where you were passionate about Jesus, a moment in your life where everything became clear to say, all things else fall away, everything else entangles and it's a trap, but I'm going to follow Jesus, that's what I want. But then in your day-to-day life, you check out. Maybe you even have a quiet time in the morning and you think about Christ and you study the scriptures, but then you go to work and you come back at night and realize, I forgot all about that all day. So why is it, why do we lose our focus? Is it because we're not making strong enough commitments? Because that's what pastors do. We're like, it's because you don't care enough. Like, go all in, read the Bible more, pray more, do more. Come on, you can do it. I don't think you guys need that. I think you really do love the Lord. You really do want to follow God. I don't think the problem is that we're not sincere. I don't think it's because we're insincere and saying, okay, I need larger commitment. Oh, I need to, like, come forward to the altar again. I need to declare it louder, bigger. I don't think that's the issue. I think you do want it. The problem is not that we're insincere. The problem is that we're forgetful. The problem is that we forget. That we say, like, okay, yes, I'm following Jesus. It's my best thought, the best thing I can think about. But then throughout the day, there's 70,000 other things pulling you in different directions, and we just forget. Because honestly, if you could remember at those moments, then all the other thoughts, all the other fears and worries wouldn't play on you. See, we leave a church service or we leave reading the Bible or listening to an inspirational message and we say, all right, yes, I believe in you, Jesus. You love me. I love you. I want to follow you and partner with you. You are king above all. You are in control. And then we show up to work, or we show up to school, or we go home, and there's something that threatens us, and we think, uh-oh, what if this is outside of my control? What if I'm going to lose my job? What if something bad happens to my family? What if I'm going to fail out of this class? And we start to fear, and we start to focus on those thoughts. How can I get those things right? And we focus on those things because we forgot. We forgot that God is in control. We forgot that we are loved and accepted no matter what. We forgot. And so I don't think it's an issue of trying to say, all right, try more. But instead, how can we remember? What does it look like for us to remember? And I'm going to tie my shoe because I know some of you guys are going to get distracted. He's going to fall down. I'm fine. All right. How do we keep our minds on what matters most? Not just having a more emotional encounter with Jesus, but how do we make this real? The answer is simple. You train your brain. You train your brain. You not just decide in an emotional sense, not just in your beliefs, but actually get into patterns, create healthy habits that focus your thoughts on what you want your thoughts focused on. So if you say, I want to follow Jesus, I want to live that life where I am being a loving person, a caring person, a forgiving person. I want to be a person that encounters joy and hope and life. I want to be that person that acts in creativity and partners with God in what he's doing to bring goodness in this world. Well, then you can't just decide now. It means that you have to continually to focus your thoughts on these things so that you can open yourself up for God to work in your life. You train your brain. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get that prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So what's Paul saying here? The Apostle Paul writes this, and he's saying, you have to go into training. That little brain doing his little workout there. You have to go into training. If you have a goal, if there's something that you want to do, you can't just do it immediately. You have to train yourself. And he talks about running a race. It's been a little while since I've ran a race. I did. It wasn't too long ago, maybe a few years ago, that I was running, and I did a 13-mile obstacle course race, which is like super fun and stupid. There's no reason, because I'm like, 13 miles is too boring for me because I get distracted. I'm like, wait, why am I running? What am I doing? So like every half mile, like then they throw like barbed wire I have to crawl under, or like fire I have to jump over, ropes to climb. Like that keeps me engaged. Oh, I can run another half mile if I can do something else dumb. So that's, you know, that's what I've done. But honestly, I have not been training. I have not been running. I have not been staying in shape. And so as much as I would like to run one of these races tomorrow, I could not. I do not think I could do a 13-mile race tomorrow because I can't run 3 miles today. And if I wanted to, I would have to make a plan and train and to prepare. The same thing works for us in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds. If you're saying, I want to live a life of infinite joy, I want to live a life where I'm following Jesus, where I'm loving like he loves, and I forgive like he forgives, so I'm going to try it tomorrow. Tomorrow! Did not feel like infinite joy. It felt like a lousy day. You live that day, and things didn't go the way you wanted it to go, and someone said something to you, and you talk back to them not right, and you're like, I didn't act in love. Ah, forget it. I can't do it. I couldn't run the 13-mile obstacle course race even though I trained for not 1 minute for it. Forget it. I'll never do it again. That's what we do in our spiritual lives, but we wouldn't do it in our physical lives. And so what Paul says is, hey, yes, you make that commitment. You give commitment. You give your heart to Jesus. But then there's training. There's discipline. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, means every day I'm saying, I'm following you. I'm following you. And there's a reason why that word disciple sounds like the word discipline. Because it takes a self-discipline to say, I'm going to choose to follow you, Jesus. And that's what Paul says. He uses this illustration again in the book of 1 Timothy, where he says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So he says, yes, train your body. Yes, go to the gym and work out and take care of yourself. That's all good. That has some value. But training your mind and your soul to be receptive to God and to follow him, that has eternal value. So, how do we do this? Now, if we want to train, how do we train? This is what he says. Paul also writes this, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so what he's saying is that there's the physical world, and we can kind of figure those things out, but there's a spiritual world that's going on. The battle of our hearts and the battle of our minds. And so to get engaged in that, we recognize that we connect to Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit that is stronger than any other power that comes up against us, any other thoughts that come up against us. And we have to actively, intentionally take control of our thoughts. The way that we train our brains is being aware and saying, I am going to be intentional about what thoughts I allow to take root in my mind. And if you don't, if you're not aware of what's going on, if you're not being intentional, those thoughts will take over for you. I had a boss once, and he was an okay boss. He was a good boss, but he was just really critical. And especially for me, I just felt like every time I'd meet with him or tell him, hey, this is what I'm doing, and I think it's going great, he would find everything that's wrong with it and would just second-guess me. well, why did you do that? Well, could you have done this? And it just got in my head, where I felt like I was trying to work not to do a good job, but just to please him. And every time I saw him, I was a little worried he was going to tell me that something was wrong. And it started just to play on my self-confidence, and I started to feel insecure, and did my best through that. But then I actually ended up moving jobs, and he was no longer my boss. But I still kept hearing him in my head. I didn't see him anymore. He didn't have any authority over me anymore. But whenever I would do a task, I still could I could feel him over my shoulder, wondering if I'm doing things right and starting to second guess myself and starting to become more insecure because he, even though it wasn't really him, the image of him had taken up residence in my head. He was living there rent-free, not paying me anything, but sitting there all the time telling me what to do. And I began to realize, this is not healthy. This is not good. I need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Because it's not even this person anymore, it's just the image of him. He's giving a voice to my inner critic and allowing my own little inner critic to speak out and to cause these issues in my life. Now, criticism and input is good. We've talked about this in the past. We want to be people that learn from others. But when it gets to the point where it's condemnation and it's not helpful, that's not from the Lord. This is when we take these thoughts and we have to match it up to truth to say, all right, this thought that's telling me I'm no good, I'm a failure, I'm always going to mess up, that's not from the Lord. That's not a thought of Christ. Because what Christ says is in him we are loved, accepted, forgiven, and valued. That's the thought that I need to think. And so what I did, I'm battling back and forth, and I decided I needed to write a letter of eviction. And that's what I did. I did a true story, sat down, and I wrote a letter to that person. And I wrote to the first, I wrote to the actual person, and I forgave him for the way that he treated me. Because I needed to be clear in that I forgive him. And then I turned my attention to the little guy in my head. And I said, you are evicted from my mind. You have no place to speak negative, critical, condemning things over me. Because in Christ Jesus, there is now no more condemnation for those who have been set free in Jesus Christ. And those who are free indeed. And so I will not listen to you anymore, and you must go. And then I burned the letter. Nobody else had to see that. And it began that steps of freedom to say, I am going to take control of the thoughts of my mind, not by my own power, but by the power of Jesus Christ. How about you? Who's in your head? Are there voices? Are there patterns? Are there things? Maybe it was a parent or a teacher from long ago, or maybe it's not even a person. It's just your own self that is speaking things that are not of Christ. And how do you know? Because if it tears you down, if it's negative, if it causes evil in your life or around you, it's not from the Lord. So you control that and you bring that, you submit it to Jesus Christ. Because if we do not control our thoughts, they will control us. You have to have thoughts. Don't let your thoughts have you. Have thoughts. Don't let your thoughts have you. And sometimes that's what happens to us. We have the worry or the fear or the anger or the pride or whatever those ideas and those thoughts come up, and we just can't stop thinking them. Maybe it's what keeps you up at night or why you can't go to sleep or can't deal with certain things because there's all these thoughts. And then we avoid to distraction. We're like, I don't want to think about that. I'm going to go do something else. Or I'm going to go drink this or smoke that or go whatever I want to do so I don't think about these thoughts anymore. But in Christ Jesus, we can have control of our thoughts. Have thoughts. Don't let the thoughts have you. And how does that happen? This happens not by us just saying, I'm in control and I can do it, because you can't. You're no match for those chemicals and those neurons going off in your brain. You're no match for the spiritual powers around you. but Jesus is. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And this passage starts with that we would sacrifice ourselves, that we would give surrender to Christ. And when we do, when we give him our hearts, our souls, and our minds, he renews our minds, makes them new, and we become transformed. We become changed. So this is what it's about, that we would live this life out in real time. And so, again, we're talking about things, and you're hearing this message, and maybe you're getting this and saying, yes, this is great, I want that. And then you're going to go, and you're going to think 69,999 other thoughts. So how do we actually put this into practice? This is just going to get, we're going to get real, and we're going to get practical. And for you, if you're real, if you're saying, I want to live a focused life, I don't want to be bouncing around to all these other things, I don't want to get distracted, I want to focus on what matters most, then you have to train your brain. And it's as simple as this. I'm going to give you an easy task. The next few weeks, we're going to work on some other practices. It's as simple as this. Choose a thought. Oh, we'll get back to that. Choose a thought and train your brain to remember it. Man, after all that, I got a little distracted, didn't I? Let me flip it back. Choose a thought, train your brain to remember it. And when we're choosing the thoughts, we have to say, what is it that we want to fill our minds with? Not so much just, I don't want to think about that. Oh, I don't want to think about those negative things. Well, what do you think about? Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So imagine how your life would be different if your brain focused on what is good and beautiful. There was a study that when they were trying to count how many thoughts somebody has per day, that 70,000 thoughts, there was another study based on that that said of those thoughts, 85% of them are negative. I'm not sure exactly how they were able to figure that out, but they said of those, 85% are negative, and 90% of those thoughts are repetitive thoughts, meaning they're ones that the brain had before, either previously that day or another time. Only 10% of our thoughts are new ideas. So we're taking the same thought, and we're running it through our mind over and over and over again. And so if that thought is maybe a fear thought of saying like, oh, I might lose my job. I'm worried I'm going to lose my job. And then that means that you're probably going to play that thought over again. I'm going to lose my job. I might lose my job. I might lose my job. And then when someone comes to you and they confront you on something or you have a hard time with something, what's the first thought you're going to think? I'm going to lose my job. And it works even just with our mind. It forms neural pathways, meaning that the more that you have a thought, the more likely you are to have that thought again. And if you just think about it, like if you're out in the woods or you're out in a meadow and there's no path, well, you don't know which way to go. So you'll just walk and you'll have to make your own path. But if you come back again, then it's going to be easier to walk through the path you walked through before. And if you walk that same way every time, then it's going to form a nice path. And when you enter that meadow or you enter that forest, you're naturally going to go through the path you walked before. The same thing in our minds. The thought you think about is the thought you're going to think about again. And so if we can fill our mind with things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, it's going to bring us in that direction. And all those things are embodied in Jesus Christ. If we can counter the lies, counter the negativity with Christ. And I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm not talking about, hey, just think good things and good thoughts in the universe. No, I'm talking about following Jesus. And as we move towards him. So this is the idea. Now let's do something about it. Are you guys willing to do something about this? Yes. To take control of your thoughts? Yes? Yes? All right, let's do it. Okay, each of you, when you came in, you got a little bulletin, and there's a little handout in there and a little 3x5 card. If you didn't get one of our ushers is going to hand you one. Mike's got some extra, so maybe you just took one for your whole family and you didn't. Make sure you get a 3x5 card and one of those little blue handouts too. Awesome. We may have some extras. There we go. Great. We'll get them out there. If not, you may be able to share your little blue notes. And if there's not a 3x5 card, you're going to need something to write on. There's little papers in front of you. You can grab one of those. Excellent. Yep, just keep waving at Mike. Eventually, he will acknowledge you. All right. Thank you, Mike. All right. So what we're going to do today is you are going to choose a thought. You're going to choose a thought that you want to have intentionally in your mind for all day tomorrow. You can even start it today. But you're going to choose a thought, and the idea is that this thought is going to be one that's going to open you up to experiencing Jesus and following him throughout your day. And as you have this thought, it's just going to move you towards him and towards awareness of him. So in these this little handout, I've listed about 20 different thoughts. We're going to run through them real quick, and what I want you to do as I talk through them and read them off is to say, is there one of these that really resonate with me? Say, yes, this is the thought that I want to think about. This is the direction I want to go with my life. If you do, just kind of star it or highlight it, circle it, something like that, and we'll come back around to it. So here are just some ideas. If you don't know what your best thought is, there's the song Be Thou My Vision. It says, thou my best thought by day or by night. Jesus is our best thought, but how do we focus on him? Let me give you some ideas. Here's one. This is what we did last week. Jesus, what are you doing today and how can I join you? Just every day to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. How are you at work? How can I join you? Jesus, I fix my eyes on you. Hebrews 12:2. That's what we just read. I'm looking at you today, Jesus. I fix my eyes on you. Have your way in me today, Jesus. Have your way. Lead me. Not my will, but yours be done today. Can you imagine how your day would look like differently? How you would be able to move your thoughts, whatever thought that comes into your mind, thoughts of worry, thoughts of fear, thoughts of hope, but then just say, all right, I want to submit that thought to this. Not my will, but God's will. Not what I want to do, not my control, but I'm trusting in you. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. This comes from 1 Samuel. Say, just speak, Lord. I want you to speak to me. I want to hear from you. I'm listening to you. Here I am. Use me. Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. Wherever you want to go, I'm yours. In Christ, I am loved and accepted. Whatever anyone else says, I'm loved and accepted in Jesus. Lord, I trust you with all of my heart. God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Or just plainly, Lord, have mercy. This is a prayer, it's called the Jesus Prayer. And in the 5th century, monks would just pray this over and over. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And sometimes there would be days where they would say, all right, you are only to think this thought over and over and over and over again all day long. And so I find it to be a little bit long. I kind of forget it or get distracted. So I just go with, Lord, have mercy. And that works for me. Maybe the whole thing works for you. King Jesus, I submit to you today. You are king. I am not. I'm your subject. Lead me today. You're king. Show me what you're doing. Next one. Take me on your adventure today, Lord. This is one of my favorites. Like, all right, you and me, God, let's adventure. What are we doing? We're partnering this together. Jesus loves me. Simple thought. Each day, Jesus loves me. Help me love others as you have loved me. Show me how to represent you well today, Jesus. If every day we're just saying, I want to be your representative, when people look at me, I want them to see you, Jesus. How does that change when you walk into the classroom and you say, all right, I want people when they look at me to see Jesus? How does that change when you walk into the boardroom? I want people to see Jesus when they see me. How can I represent you when I'm going to the grocery store? How can I represent you when I'm walking the dog and seeing the neighbors? How do I represent you well today? Next one. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory. Just a focus on God. Christ is in me. Your grace is sufficient for me. His forgiveness, his love, that's all we need. It's sufficient. Come, Lord Jesus, which is also known as Maranatha. It's an Aramaic word that in 1 Corinthians 16:22, it's not translated. It just says Maranatha. And what it means is come, Lord Jesus, or Lord Jesus, you have come. And again, many contemplative communities and monks and folks have said, we just want to focus on that word, Maranatha. They also say it just kind of sounds nice, Maranatha, Maranatha. And so sometimes people do the English, come, Lord Jesus, other it's Maranatha. Have your way. Do what you want. You're invited. Okay, so this is a whole bunch of things. Some of you guys completely zoned out on that. It was just too much, but that's fine. There was one that hit you. What I want you to do is to find that one, and then you have this little 3x5 card. This is going to be your thought that you're going to choose to focus on tomorrow. So what I'd like you to do, there's pens in front of you, is to go ahead and write out those words, the one thought that you want to think tomorrow. Go ahead and write that out. Think about it. I know some of you might, well, there's so many, and I want to do like 7 or 8. Just pick one. There's many other days in the year. You can pick another one. Well, what if I pick the one and it turns out it's not the best one? Look, there's another side. You can change your mind and put it on the other side. It's okay. Just pick one. Just go for it. Don't overthink it. All right. Go ahead and write down that one thought. And now to train your brain, this is your one. And there might be something else. It may be like a Bible verse or a passage that wasn't on this, and you've got it. Go ahead. It doesn't have to be on this list. Whatever is on your heart, whatever is going to help you keep your mind focused on what matters most. All right, so you got that? All right, so what I want you guys to do is, in a second, I want you to say it out loud, and we're just going to all say it together. This is your declaration, the thought that you want to keep you focused on Jesus throughout the day. So everybody's got it? All right, say it together on three. 1, 2, 3, go. Have your way today in me, Jesus. That was a great thought. Good job. That's fantastic. How would your life be different if that was your governing thought? Not meaning that we don't think about anything else, but your governing thought. So we're going to do that. We're going to find, how do we do this? Now you have your best thought. That's great. That's step one. The next is, how are you going to train your brain to keep that as a primary thought that guides you? So here's some practices. This is it. First thing in the morning, have the thought written next to your bedstand or displayed on your phone. Read it and think about it before you get out of bed. Let the thought help you dedicate your mind and your day to God. Okay, so if this is real, then you say, all right, I'm going to have this by my bedside. When I wake up, it's the first thing I'm going to look at. And, you know, look at that. Write it down. You already did it. You already wrote it down. Look at you. Yeah, you got it. You started already. You have your best thought written down already. You're halfway there. And so now the thought is, how do you make sure that's your first thought in the morning? Your first thought matters. Because whatever it is that you're thinking about, it's going to guide the rest of your day. I don't know about you. Usually my first thought is, I do not want to wake up. I'm not a morning person. I'm like, I want to go back to sleep. That's been generally my first thought. You know, then second thought is like, oh, you know, what do I have to do today? Like, what's my schedule? What do I, like, and then we just get off it. And then third thought is, I don't want to think about any about that. Where's my phone? What's on Facebook? You know, that's how my thoughts go when I don't control them. But instead, I want to say every morning, Lord, I have this best, I'm going to think about you. And so this is my practice now, is before I get out of bed, I know that thought, before I know my thought, so I don't have to look at the card because I've been doing it for a while, and I just think on that. Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord God, take me on your adventure today. And so my challenge to you, if you really want to transform your mind and your life, then start out by owning that first thought. And you may say, oh, but my first thought is like my phone goes off in the morning. Like I wake up by an alarm. You know what you can do? Take your phone, take a picture of the 3x5 card, and then make that your background for your phone. So when your phone goes up, that's what you see. You can do that. You can also make it a reminder to you so that it pops up on your phone. And you can do it however creative way you want to, but it just brings you to that. All right, that's my thought. First thought, best thought. My first thought of the day, I want it to be my very best thought. And then I can think about my schedule. Because the next thing I do is then I pull up my schedule and I look at the things I need to do, but I pray through it. I say, Lord Jesus, have your way in me as I'm going to this elders meeting. Lord Jesus, have your way in me as I'm going to meet with this person. Lord Jesus, have your way in me. And I start to pray. So if I have a meeting, I start to pray about the people I'm meeting with. You see how it just starts to shift your mind. It starts to focus you. So that's the first step, is first thing in the morning, first thought, best thought. Now, the other thing is, you're going to have a ton of other thoughts during the day. So how do you come back to that thought? First thought, best thought doesn't mean just first thought in the morning. It's the first thought before you start something new. So the next challenge, how we train our brain, is at the transition points. Before you enter a meeting, begin a task, or encounter people, pause and reflect on your thought. Invite Christ into your mind and your actions. Get into a rhythm of thinking about your best thought when you get out of your car or walk through a doorway. So again, just thinking, all right, I'm about to go into this meeting. I'm about to go into the classroom. I'm about to go into the grocery store. Lord Jesus, have your way in me. Not your will, but my will be done. And if you get into a pattern, especially if you create it as a habit, and you tell your brain, hey, every time I shut the engine off, I'm saying this prayer, then your brain will say, okay. Because it's like, hey, we're shutting the engine off, and now I'm going to think this thought. Brain, you think it. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. Because you're controlling your brain doesn't control you. And if you just get into that rhythm, I pull into the parking lot. Before I get out of the car, I'm pulling into the driveway of my home. I'm going to say, not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to pull into the driveway. I'm going to say, let me be a representative of you today, Jesus, to my family. I'm going to pull into my driveway and say, help me to love these people I'm about to see the way you love me. See if this works? This is real. We're talking about real stuff, right? This is real. We're not just saying maybe. It was like, here, this is where we're going. All right. Next one. Landmarks and reminders. Choose a sign or an object or a building that will cause you to recall your best thought. Create a reminder alarm or on your phone or to draw your attention or your thought so you can live it out during the day. And so this is just saying, all right, throughout the day, are there things that can remind me of Christ? Are there things that can remind me of my best thought? I have one of our sisters in the church, Julia Zhu, she's here. And she was coming to prayer meeting. We were praying for a while about her job, that she was going through a transition and wondering like where God had for her. So we were praying every week for that. And then she got this job at Cisco. And she's like, you know, I think this is really where God has me. And she came back on a Wednesday night and she shared. She said, you know, as I was walking into my new building where I'm going to be working every day, there was just this something on the wall that reminded me of a cross. It was really like just a wall sconce. It was just a light fixture. But in my mind, I thought that looked to me like a cross. And it reminded me that Jesus Christ is here at this building in Cisco. And so I saw that and I just began to pray and focus my mind. And then when I came back the next day, it was still there. So every time I walk from the parking lot into the building, I see this and I think about Christ. What a great thing. This is her building right here. Can you see it? Can you see the cross? And there, here's a blow up a little bit more. There you go. It's not, Cisco does not put crosses on their walls. It's not intentional. It's just there. But to her, she's saying, that's going to remind me. That's going to remind me of Jesus. You can do this too. It can just be a stop sign as you're driving on a way to work or to school. And that's going to remind you, stop and think about Jesus. Stop and think about my best thought. Create that. If you don't have that around you, again, create a reminder on your phone that's just going to ding, that's going to show up, and maybe it's going to show you a picture of your thought or of your verse, and you're going to stop and you're going to think about that. If you don't know how to do that with your phone, there are junior hires that will be happy to show you. We have plenty of them. So this is what we do. This is the rhythm. And then finally, at the end of the day, reflect in gratitude on how Jesus spoke to you and was present in you and around you during the day. Choose your best thought for the next day and decide how you're going to keep focused on Jesus tomorrow. So at the end, you say, all right, I was trying to think about this. I had 70,000 other thoughts, but I was making them submissive. It doesn't mean we ignore the thoughts. I'm not saying avoid the other thoughts, but instead saying, what does it mean if I'm following Jesus and he's going to show me how to bring those thoughts into alignment? And now I step back and say, all right, Lord, I saw how you were working. Or, whoops, I forgot. I messed up. I didn't get there, but I'm going to stand in your grace. Let's go again tomorrow. And before the next day, decide what tomorrow's thought is going to be. Maybe it's the same, you're going to keep the same thought for a week, a month, forever. That's fine. But like, if you're like me, like I just get bored, and so I just got to keep changing it up and changing things so that just a different angle to keep focused on Jesus. Do you see how this works? It's one thing just to make the declaration to say, I want to follow you. It's the other to actually follow him. And I know this is a lot, and I know, looking, some of you guys, you're done. It's like, this was too much. I'm not there. I understand. I get it. There's a lot here. And some of you maybe are saying, like, it shouldn't be this much work. I should just be able to say, Jesus, take over, and it should be fun. Yeah, yes, that's the start. That's where it begins. But he calls on you to do your part also, that you may walk in this together with him. Choose to think your best thought. Train your brain to focus on Jesus. And I've given you some tools. They may not be the perfect ones for you, but maybe it's a beginning. Because what I've just done for you is I bought each of you a gym membership for the training gym of your mind. You have the gym membership bought for you, given for you right now in your hands. But you know that if I actually bought for you a real gym membership to 24-Hour Fitness or Gold or any of those places, just giving you the gym membership doesn't make you any healthier. You guys know this because you've tried it. Every January, millions of people try it. They're like, if I just buy the gym membership, I will lose weight. No, you won't. You will only lose weight, you will only get healthy if you go to the gym. And if you actually exercise. My dad did this last year, and he's like, okay, I went to the gym. I go to the gym, and I sit in the hot tub. I'm not sure it works like that either, Dad. It's good you're going to the gym. You got to go to the gym and do the exercise. And so this is how it is for you. You can leave this. You can leave these. You know, you can take this with you and use it, or you might end up just leaving it here, or it ends up in the bottom of your car or whatever. Or you say, like, that's just too much for me. I'm not going to do that. That's fine. You don't have to do that. If you are satisfied with a flabby mind and with a lethargic soul, that's okay. It's fine. It's your choice. We can live unfocused lives, or we can live lives where we train our brains to focus on what matters most. Guys, we only have so much time left on this earth. I don't know how much. You don't know how much. And we can't put things off to say, okay, eventually I'll get things to get together. The best life that you can live now, you can live now. And it's given to you by Jesus Christ. It's given to you by focusing your mind on what matters most. And here it is for you. These are the ideas. This is where you can go, but what you do with it is up to you. And I'm hoping you're going to join me at the gym. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you and we focus our thoughts on you. The neurons are firing. There's information always going around. And thoughts come up and they cause us to worry and fear and all sorts of other directions. But Lord, what we say now is we submit ourselves to you. And we are going to take up the challenge that you give us in Scripture to train our minds and our bodies and our souls, that we would not be run by our feelings or our thoughts. Instead, that we would control them by your power, that we would take them in submission to you, Jesus. So I pray for all my friends right now in this room that we may take every thought captive and make it obedient to you, Jesus Christ. I pray for us that we may do the hard work of training, to just every day say, I'm just going to think of you. And God, even what we're talking about is I'm not saying we got to do hours of meditation. I'm just saying a moment. Just a moment of bringing it back to you. Bring it back to you. We can't even do this on our own, but would you do that in us? Would you do this in us? God, we submit ourselves to you, that you would be our best thought. Of the 70,000 options we have every day, we choose you. Thank you, God, that you have chosen us and that you will transform us by the renewing of our minds. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We invite you to stand. We're going to close with this song, Focus. Be Thou My Vision. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you and go in peace.